It is time for the round table served by Sam and Dave's. Great seafood, their lobster main event. Definitely check it out. I feel very lucky we got to sample some of the wares. That bisque is sinful.
Is that not awesome? Lobster bisque. We had a whole main lobster. Let me tell you what this is. This main lobster event celebration that's going on now through Thanksgiving. So you stop in on Sunday, get $15 off this delicious New England lobster bake. Sam and Dave's, it's open every Sunday at 1, but you better make reservations now. And we had some sourdough bread. We're all kind of sampling this in here. You and Megan and Deke and Jimmy and great food. Yeah, George Schindler, again, nice enough to deliver it here. And it was again voted, by the way, West Side's best seafood restaurant and best happy hour by West Shore Magazine. And remember about late night happy hour every Friday night with half-price food off the entire bar menu. It's a perfect place to stop by after watching high school football. Well, we're going to watch pro football Sunday. We're going to watch the Browns, Jim, try to make it 4 in a row.
Unbelievable. First of all, I thought there was a tighter dress code on the show, obviously. I came in a...
You are looking good.
Thank you very much.
Styling. Yeah, keeping it classy.
I look like I teach science at a Jesuit high school.
You do.
Teach us something.
As I said to you,
Vic, before we came in, this is a new feeling for me to come in 4 in a row, the possibility of 4 in a row, and a lot of people kind of expecting that if you play well, if you play your game, you can win it. This is new for all of us here. It's great. Yeah. It really is great. I mean, it's exciting. I think a lot of Browns fans were so excited they would have liked to have seen the Browns play again last Sunday.
Just keep it going.
You could get cold.
That's right. The momentum is there. Absolutely. Doug, the offensive line is going to be tested in this game by Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Ziggy Ansah. What can the Browns do to give? We know Brandon Whedon is not, even if he gets better, he's not getting it out like Brian Hoyer is going to. What can they do to help Brandon Whedon in this game?
Well, there's different people that you can throw in there to help out on the protection scheme. We use a lot of Barnage. Barnage does a great job in there. He's not the biggest guy, but I tell you what, he's a tough guy in there. The running back, McGay, he can help out. I mean, you try to get at least two on Sue, and then wherever else you got a leak, then you got to help out, with somebody there.
Is it tougher because the shortest path to the quarterback is right up the middle of the interior when a team has two disruptive defensive tackles like Sue and Fairley?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the thing is, they don't have the room to maneuver when they're there, and the quarterback can see them. I mean, when you've got people coming off the edge, I think sometimes especially off the blind side, you're not aware, and that's where, when you drift in the pocket as a quarterback, you really create problems for your offensive line, and I think that's one of the things you have to be aware of, because when you get that pressure up the middle, you're going to have a tendency to drift, and you just got to make sure you're secure on the outside then.
You know, one thing I would like to see Brandon do Sunday is to use the full pocket a little bit more, because that's one thing Hoyer did, and certainly Brady does it, and all the good ones do it, that it's not always straight back, but sometimes you can find a little bit of room to the left with a shuffle step, to the right with a shuffle step, and buy yourself a little bit more time and make them go a little bit farther to get you. The other thing is, I think that everybody in town and certainly in that stadium on Sunday can't have their own clock going off on their head, because I think we're all on this getting rid of the ball very quickly. And I think, at some point it does take some time for a play to develop. If you want this chunk yardage that I think really Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner want, it does take a little bit of time to get them down there.
I agree with that. Although I think there's,
we don't have Michael Johnson at wide receiver,
Right. A rhythm thing though.
You're right.
About finding, because I think as much as anything else for the quarterback, you're not going to get the picture perfect window to throw to. Most of the best quarterbacks in the league throw to a spot, receiver gets
there, right? Yeah.
I think that's the mindset. That's what we got, what we saw when you look at Brian Hoyer and look at him before he left that Buffalo game, that pass that I still, the what might have been play to Josh Gordon, how that could have changed that whole night, where he threw it before Josh got to his spot, right. And then it's right there, and the end zone angle on that is tremendous, and you see that feel thing that he did, and hey, there was coverage there and everything, and the guy put it on the spot. Wheaton, more than capable of doing that.
Yeah.
It's just about Again, timing, rhythm, feel.
And it's also a quarterback that's got a strong arm and has been able to get away with it because
sure.
of that strong
right.
arm.
Right.
So now at this level, it's just a different game. You have to anticipate.
You know, he made that throw on 3rd and 18 that I think was the throw of the night for him. I mean, I know the throw to Gordon was great yeah. and the throw to Little was great on that two-play drive, but that 3rd and 18 that he threw on a rope to Gordon right at that marker, that was his best throw of the night. So he is very capable of doing
yes.
that. What I'm saying is that I preach a little patience to hopefully the 72,000 that are in there on Sunday that, you know, it's going to – some plays take a little time, so we can't get too much wrapped up into is he getting the ball on time. I mean, we'll notice it if he's not.
You do notice it. But also, sometimes it is better to eat the ball, take the sack. Obviously, you want to see him get out of the pocket and throw it away, but he
right.
doesn't necessarily have that elusiveness, which you alluded to, than to throw an interception. And he has not thrown an interception since the first half against Miami. He did throw 3 there. Not all of them his fault, but still 3. That's a lot. And he hasn't thrown one since. So he's got to take care of the ball.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have him take a sack every now and then than force one and throw a pick.
And of the throws on Thursday, there was only one that was really a bad throw where they had a chance to pick it off. But other than that, you know, he was wise. But as you said, yeah, sometimes take a sack, but you'd also just don't want to lose.
It.
You don't want a
right.
negative yard. You want to get the ball, you know, out
yeah.
there someplace in the ground.
For the record, the guy got no practice snaps before that game. That does
yes.
matter. I heard a couple of people that I've said that to. Yeah, but he's a pro and he's got to figure this. No, it matters. It's a specific game plan practicing, and he didn't get that. Now, I think it's a big deal that for the first time since week 2, he's practicing with this first unit offense. He's working with the entire game plan. Mm. You know, he's doing all the things in preparation that I think should show up in the game.
And it's the first time that he's practiced with Josh Gordon in preparation of starting a game
right.
all season. I mean,
right.
I think
that's huge.
That's huge.
Let me ask you guys then, is it a different game plan with him versus what Brian Hoyer is able to do? I mean, do they run? I know they run basically, there's an offense here, but is there, you know how when they go in and they're setting up the game plan and they say to Wheaton, what do you like to run?
So.
What are the 15 plays you want to run? I mean, is it different
yeah.
with him than it is with Hoyer?
Well, I think it is, you know, because they always ask the quarterback, which ones are you most comfortable
yeah.
with? And I think if you watch the game, you know, against Buffalo, there was a little change, I think, in the
sure.
game plan. They tweaked
yes.
it as the game went on because, you know, he wasn't familiar with some of the things that they've been doing the last couple of weeks because he hadn't had reps at it. So they kind of went back to maybe what they were doing the first couple of weeks. And when you got a Josh Gordon in there, those things you're doing the first couple of weeks make a big difference.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think what they do is they get him a little bit more in shotgun. I think with Hoyer a lot, there were more timing-oriented plays where just get it, we know you can put it in the right window. With Wheaton, it's a little bit more slower developing, which can be compounded when he holds on to the ball too long. But there was clearly a change, I thought, in that game. And he does throw the ball, especially the deep outs. I mean, he throws a deep out and a deep in as well as anybody in the league. He's just got to be more consistent on the shorter plays with the proper touch and the proper timing and the proper ball placement.
And he can't worry about making a mistake because then,
right.
then
he can't play scared.
Look at
Matt Schaub right now.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen it where I think, you know, he's heard about it. He's heard about it. People have, you know, badgered about it. But just let him go play football.
Yeah, that's a big key. He's just got to go out there and play.
Yeah.
You gotta let him play. I mean, I know he's, you know, this is his mulligan, I said the other night.
Right.
I mean, this is his chance to get back in there. But, you know, you got to let him be what he is. And he's got a great arm, and so you got to trust him. The other thing is he's got to realize that the other thing we saw from when Hoyer played is you don't have to do it all by yourself.
Correct. Right.
You got a lot
right.
of guys here that can do it.
Utilize your guys. This is the roundtable. It is Jim Donovan, the voice of the
very
Browns.
Good roundtable so far.
I think
that's
so.
Right. Yeah.
And Doug Deacon, it's an excellent one. Doug Deacon, both from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. It is served to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. One other Wheaton point, I think, too, is, or we can make a million more, I don't care, but with regard to how the plays are called, the system of this play delivery, it's been an issue. And I don't know that it's necessarily technical failure, but there's been some problem in the dispensing of plays when
yeah.
you start from North Turner in the box down to Scott Turner, his son, the wide receivers coach, to Brandon on the sideline. These are problems that you did not see Brian Hoyer have. So I'm wondering, in some ways, can there be a streamlining of it? I don't think you can change all the nomenclature. I don't think you can change all the verbiage that you do at this stage of a season, because I think that could probably lead to more problems. But Doug, don't you think there's a way you can condense it a little bit?
Well, you condense it or familiarity, because I think, you know, as we said, the game plan kind of shifted a little bit when Brian Hoyer was in there. And now you're calling plays, and yeah, he knows what the plays are, but there's a process of not having executed them in practice that, you know, you're thinking in your mind, okay, what do I do on this? You know, what do I do? I throw it here to here, and okay, my reads and everything. And I think, you know, with that, there's a little bit of a confusion. Now, with a, you know, what, a week and a half of practice, that should be cleaned up a lot.
I would think so.
I certainly hope so. And you know, you saw him get the big play to Greg Little. We talked about that. Little had, I thought, his best game of the year. And that's important. I think one of the ways to get Devon Best more involved is to have Greg Little play well so that he can actually be in the slot more often where he is at his best. That's where he can win.
Well, getting back to your question, my thing was, you know, when somebody would Sipe would call a play, I think, okay, I got to block this, if they're this, I got to go there. And to the point I'm thinking about it, then I'm Robert, what's the snap count? Because, you know, I was so consumed with it, and I think that's what happens to a quarterback. You're listening, you're thinking what you're doing, then all of a sudden, you know, the time is running.
And Robert was your imaginary friend that you always had through life, yeah, right, that you talked to?
Unfortunately.
Still here.
Unfortunately.
If we had a fifth microphone, Robert would have it.
Robert was deaf in one ear.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, Robert, where did I put my car keys?
Robert was deaf in one ear.
Oh my God.
And so I'd have to say it real loud, and Robert would go, it's on two. And you think these morons on the other side could have figured it out? So we outsmarted them. We started doing it in Spanish. Uno dos.
Oh, God. It is the round table. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Lordy Ford. Bringing up Little and the return game, that was a question that Rob Jedzinski heard quite a bit of. So do we think now the time has come that we're going to see Fozzie Whitaker, maybe a little more of Fozzie? I think the hints are out there enough by coach, and they said they were going to work him in. Is there any imaginable way you stick with Little as a returner? I can't see it.
Well, no, I think he's totally overcooking it back there, and I think he's just, you know, the new thing now is that with this kickoff thing, and these guys are taking it out. Little's not alone.
No.
These guys are taking it out 8-9 yards deep and coming out. Now, remember, they get those 9 yards before anyone is on him. It's the 13 that they get when they go over the goal line that's a problem.
Right.
I mean, he consistently, early in that game, put them in field position jail. Oh,
well, that's why they were in the hole.
That put them in a 10-0 hole.
And right. You know, part of that, too, is primetime games. You know, the decision-making process.
That's true, Deke.
Because you want to be the guy, but, you know, you got to be smart about being the guy.
Yeah, I just think about that, and we've addressed this a lot here, but since we have the roundtable together too, because I keep getting asked the question, it doesn't go away regarding Josh Gordon and regarding whether or not this team would actually really seriously consider trading him, and I'm at a place now where I guess I want to cover my ears and say, you know, just pretend not to hear it, but we can't do that either, but he was asked about it. Now it's, you know, yesterday by the media, Josh was asked about it. It's now a solid topic of discussion that's going to carry on all the way through Sunday, and how he performs, it'll be mentioned in every mention of him in that. So is that going to be a problem for him, that topic, a distraction?
Well, you're right. It's going to happen, and it happens then across the league anytime one of these, you know, teams that are contenders lose a receiver. The first guy I know everybody's looking to is, you know, oh, Cleveland's got this, you know, Josh Gordon. So I think, you know, when Atlanta loses Julio Jones, I mean, it's an obvious fix that, well, San Francisco was looking at it when Crabtree and Manningham were out. Cleveland's got Gordon. Maybe they're going to deal him. I worry about this. I don't know how it's going to affect him, but I think they rode through the Richardson trade okay. Okay, and they were
more than okay,
but very okay in the locker room, which is where you worry about it. If you ever did this, I would worry about the locker room.
I'm worried about every front because I don't know what explanation works. You can explain what the thinking behind it is, but even when you do that and then people hear that, if you're talking a first, a third, you know, something right there, a first and a second.
Right.
Some people will say, well, no, that's actually really good. He was a second round. I mean, that, you got good value for the trade. But you have now parted ways with this tremendous receiver that how do you get that back? You really can draft that guy next year?
Exactly. Trust me, we've drafted a lot of wide receivers in the second round.
We used to do it every year in the second round.
Who are having it? But I think with Josh, His demeanor is one I don't think that it's going to really faze him. He has a different kind of demeanor.
And, yeah.
I don't think
he says it's not bothering him.
No, and I also think, you know, in some ways it's the organization, you know, it's putting his feet to the fire and saying, hey, you know, we, you know, you got to be on your good at behavior.
But I think there was a trust factor that was totally tested when the Richardson trade was made. Trust us, this is what we're doing. You know, it's going to be okay. Trust us, we're not blowing the season up. But if you ever did this, and I'm not saying that they are, but, you know.
We want to burn those tapes of the first 2 weeks of offense without Josh Gordon.
Absolutely. If you ever did this, I mean, the trust factor would be snapped.
I'd be very unhappy.
Yeah.
It's hard. Every day that.
I don't like talking about it.
In fact, I know. It's a sore subject, and but he hates it. I don't love it. But I know it's part of what we got to do here. Yep. When I get a warning, like an email alert that something's coming up, like an announcement from the team, and I get this little advance warning of it.
Coming in 5 minutes.
I held my breath the other day. And, you know, it was the good news, I saw that. I'm going to be very honest what the scenario was. I saw that. It was Tuesday, I guess.
It's been every day, really.
But Travis Benjamin. Oh, yeah. They were announcing Travis Benjamin was going to be AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. So that was the release. I actually was like, oh. And I was happy for Travis, but that became secondary to the fact that it wasn't a release about Gordon.
You're right. So, you're exactly right.
Anyway.
Well, Karnak had that during the game.
Yes, you predicted that, right?
Yeah. I went on the limb. Yeah,
and there's another way. We can't discount. So this team in every single game, for a little old school Johnny Carson reference, we go through this game, this each game, figuring out now that the Browns have to have really that kind of performance. I don't know if it's got to be a touchdown every game, but they've got to have special Travis Benjamin and better work in the kicking game, a kick return game, or that's another way that they could find their pathway to a loss.
Yeah.
That's got to happen every game.
Well, I mean, just the yardage that he was responsible for in every manner, Benjamin, last Thursday night was amazing, because then when Buffalo just decided we cannot kick to him anymore, they sacrificed, you know, 10, 15 position. Yards in field position. I mean, that's an amazing stat that you add on to the 179 yards of return yardage.
It cost their punter his job.
Well, yes. And the coach, right?
And the coach, yeah.
But it's the hidden yardage the hidden yardage in the game. You know, and the other thing is, you know, we're talking about second-year ballplayers, Travis Benjamin, Josh Gordon, Brandon Weeden. And, you know, Travis Benjamin up in Minnesota, he muffs a punt, and, you know, we're going, boy.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden we see Devon Best back there, but okay, you go with what you know. You got to work through it, and Travis Benjamin found a way to work through it.
He's working through it.
I mean, and watching Jimmy do the call, I thought his boxer shorts were an extra small because he was moving and grooving up there.
I was. Thank you.
Thanks for noticing and watching the play.
Well, I got a duck. I mean.
It is the round table. We have a little bit of fun with this.
They must have spiked the lobster biscuit.
They clearly did, because I don't even remember. I don't know where we're going for it. Guys, thank you very much.
You got
appreciate it.
That was great.
Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the Roundtable brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Maine Lobster event. And check it out. And you don't know what's in that lobster bisque, because clearly it's spiked.
There's
a little alcohol in there. All right, we've got more coming up for you. And you're going to hear, by the way, in hour number two, we'll hear from Paul Kruger. You're going to hear from Tim Twentyman. He is from the Lions.com, their website. He'll talk some Lions with him, and from Gerard Cherry. All of that is coming up on CBD on a Football Thursday.